Okay. So Iyah Kara Azois.
Resh Ayin Aleph.
Resh Ayin Hey.
Hey. It'll help.
Left column. V'iyah Kara Azois, not realizing this. Each person according to their level is a tremendous pagam, it's a tremendous fault. Not realizing what. I think just focusing on the garment. Meaning that a person that's, as he explained in the paragraph above, a person that's involved in performing the mitzvahs and just doesn't, and that's all the person is involved in, meaning that the person doesn't take a moment to think about what he's doing and who he's doing it for. Just all caught up in the garment. He said it's possible for a person to go through life just going through the motions and not realizing what it's all for. So the lack of this knowledge, of this recognition of the gufa de malka, that in these garments is the body of the king. So that is it's a terrible fault. He says that on a certain level, it's even worse than doing averis. Why? Because avera a person is doing because out of confusion and out of temptation. Chazal say a person only transgresses an avera unless a spirit of folly enters him. But somebody who just serves Hashem out of a lack of with a lack of knowledge of what he's doing, who he's similar to the person who looks at who is able to see a star from far away. And this star is five times the size of the earth. But he thinks that this is it's just a dot. Because he's so far away and he has so little knowledge. So also the person called Kamashu Rochi Gyosam Alboida as the further a person is from Hashem, and he has such a limited knowledge, he doesn't grasp at all the greatness of Hashem. I'm not sure what's so terrible about thinking that a star is small, but I guess the nimshal is that person that is so distant from Hashem doesn't realize the greatness of Hashem. Whereas the person who does an avera can realize the greatness of Hashem, yet is possessed by a spirit of folly.
Spirit of folly?
Folly.
Rakshtus.
Leading, of course, to the question why you're accountable for your avera, then.
It's allowing that spirit of folly in. Chmesh yesh mefager sichli b'movin agashmi. I'm not sure. Mefager is a Hebrew word for something very negative. I'm not sure what it means. You can Google it if you want. Huh?
No, it's an app.
Shaivit Lashem Yisbarach.
That just makes sense. Break up
the. Do Mefager.
you get an answer?
Yeah, he's very quick with it.
Backward, retarded, slow coach, cretinous, laggard, and cretin. Thank you. I'm not sure what most of those words mean, but
it's bad.
So just like he says, there's a mafager, a intellectual mafager physical sense. Also, there's a intellectual mafager in a spiritual sense. Shavu Hashem Yisbarach. He serves Hashem in a makas misham v'hayoedem, but he has no recognition of what Hashem is or who Hashem is. In him is talk of a guf of the malke, the bedivush of the malke. All he doesn't look at the body of the king. Rather, at the garments of the king. My father once said at one of the parlor meetings here, he said that there are those that are afraid of the Shulchan Aruch. There are those that are afraid of the Shulchan Aruch. He said, an Erlich Yid is afraid of the Rabbi Nishla. The Shulchan Aruch being the garment of the king. They get so caught up in the Shulchan Aruch that they forget that that it's just a levush. You got to remember that in that levush there's Rabbi Nishla. Chumashikosav Rambam Sof HaChashuva. The Rambam writes at the end of HaChashuva V'zeh L'Shainai. Eino oyev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elo b'das sheyedo'ehu Yalpi ha'das ti'ahava ima'at ma'at v'maharve harve. A person can only love Hashem according to how much the person knows Hashem. And according to that knowledge will be the love. If it's a little bit of knowledge, it will be a little bit of love, and if it's a lot of knowledge, it will be a lot of love. Fikach, therefore, says the Rambam, Tzorach Adam liyachad atzma yilahoven alahaska b'chachmos etzvunay samadiyam leyaskoinoy. A person needs to make a point of understanding and intellectualizing in the wisdoms and the understandings that will notify him of who his creator is. According to the ability that the person has to understand and to grasp. Those are the words of the Rambam. Vahainu, that is Shahotam Chayav Lavad Alze. It's very important that you should realize that Ayin Zayin means Alze. Or else you can make a terrible mistake. Chayav Adam Lavad Alze. In order to recognize his creator according to his strength and his grasp. And this is alluded to, huh? In the words of Chazal, and Rishenu Kamalochim, Anu Kamenei Adam. And Rishenu Kamenei Adam, Anu Kachamayim. The Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, that if a person's understanding of the Rishonim, of the Chachamim of back then, if we visualize them as angels, then in comparison to them, we're like human beings. If we visualize them like people on a kachamayim, then we're like donkeys. Meaning if their grasp in Hashem's greatness was like the grasp of angels on a kachamayim, then our grasp was like those of people. But if their grasp were like people, then our grasp was like donkeys. Because we have no grasp in the greatness of Hashem. Someone who is small is like a donkey. Who has no grasp in what is greater than he is. And just like the person, this person that is not, that cannot understand the greatness of Hashem, he also doesn't have the ability to realize his own lowliness. As it seems from the Rambam, he writes, that as soon as a person contemplates Hashem's greatness, he will immediately realize, he will immediately feel his smallness and his lowliness. As it says in the pasuk, says, when I see your heaven, I see your sky, I come to the realization that what is a person that a person is not even worth of being mentioned.
Shemecha is your sky?
Yeah, Shemecha, your sky. Also, the person that doesn't grasp is not able to evaluate the depth of the compromise that he has caused through his averus that he has done due to the smallness of his knowledge and the restriction of his brain. As the Rishon said, Al Derech Mashal, the Melech Shalem Noidek Klul Teferish Enkom Eis Ba'olam. By analogy to a king who had a candelabra that was beautiful candelabra. There was nothing comparable in the entire world. It was decorated with diamonds. It hung on a rope in his chamber. It was a chandelier. There was a fool there that he wanted that rope. So he cut it. So the chandelier fell to the ground and broke. So Chassan Adas al Azah, this fool, he's not shaykh to him to be able to understand the great loss that he caused by cutting a rope. And the darkness in the chamber of the king that he caused by breaking this candelabra. And this is all because of a foolishness, because he wanted the rope. So also, somebody who has a small das, a person can't grasp it, how through a lowly taiva, that just because he wanted some taiva, he causes darkness in the upper world. And the root of this fault is because he doesn't realize the greatness of Hashem. He doesn't have the ability to see the primus, what lies inside of everything. He's not included in the wise servants of the king that don't bother focusing on the garments, rather at the neshama of the king.
No. I'm I was thinking of the guy that breaks into a house and steals all the copper tubing, ruining the house and getting, you know, this is what happens now. People don't steal rope from... But
that's why we have an alarm system, Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody break in, steal the copper tubing. The point is, what's it to me? That, I want the copper tubing, and that, the fool wanted the rope. So he's causing darkness in the upper worlds. He says, what's it to me? I needed a rope. I needed... What's it to me? So the problem isn't that he doesn't understand that he's causing darkness in the upper worlds. The problem is that the thief doesn't understand that he's ruining the house by taking the copper tubing.
The thief understands that. He doesn't care.
Exactly. The same thing probably with this fool. He doesn't care. He says, what's it to me? So the essence is not that he doesn't know what he's doing, that he's causing the darkness in the upper worlds.
We're giving the person the benefit of the doubt here. That he, had he known that, he
no, but the real, lack, the real thing is how I'm connected to that, how it affects me, and how my that I have responsibility, that my neshama is of sufficient importance that it depends on me not to cause darkness in the upper worlds. Otherwise, so what? So I wrecked the king's chandelier. So what? What's that to me? I needed a piece of rope.
Exactly.
Right, so it's the sense of responsibility that's missing, not the knowledge.
No. Again, I don't think that we're talking about he's not talking about somebody that's wicked, he's talking about somebody that's a fool.
Okay.
So, and I believe that if you take the ordinary Jew and you would open his eyes and let the person see what kind of compromise they're causing through doing an avera, I don't think we would have bechira at all. If you take let's say it would have the parallel effect in this world. And you would show a person that by them doing an avera, he's causing his children to die. Mm-hmm. Nobody in their right mind could think of it. Right?
Because so, there, the connection of what's it to me is okay. More obvious.
It's more obvious. That's the word. It's not that they don't care. It's just not obvious. It's totally not obvious to them. If it would be something that's obvious to them,
The thief for the copper tubing, that's obvious to him.
Right, because
he doesn't care.
Because he doesn't care. Right? Yeah. But that's not why we do averas. We do averas not because we don't care. We do care. Huh? We do averas because we don't know.
In your analogy, you connected the person to a direct action related to them. How does taking the rope that the fool has done, okay, and caused darkness in the world, does it not also affect everybody else? So don't we then also have an obligation or responsibility towards that fool, so to speak?
Yeah.
To help them not do that?
Yeah, of course. Sure. We know a fool's about to cut the rope of the king's chandelier. I think we should tell him what is about to happen when he cuts that rope.
We also have to force everyone to learn chassidus.
We need a bigger shul.
Good idea.
There's one across the street.
Well, how would you get in touch with this? Because in fact, it is, how do you No, how do you get that in your head? Except, you can say, I believe that it's going to be causing great damage, but, it's not really, most of the time, it takes I won't say a leap of faith, maybe that's the wrong word, but you don't perceive it. It's like, you really are, kind of in this closed little world, and you don't really do see any consequences. Is it just a matter of, like Hashem told me not to do it, therefore there's going to be big consequences? Is there any other way to sort of connect to that, or just by learning this?
It definitely requires faith, no question. We have to believe what's written in the Zohar about all of this. The main thing is we have to be able to take ourselves seriously.
Yes. Yes.
That's really the main thing. And if we don't take ourselves seriously, we're not going to believe that we cause anything, not through mitzvahs and not through others. The word that I constantly repeat is Shem Shmuel. In Bamidbar, the Shem Shmuel brings from his father, from the Yom Nezer, that he once, I think he writes that he asked his father, how is it that a Maase Gashmi, how is it that a physical act, a physical human being, can cause such tremendous such a tremendous effect on spiritual worlds. referring to mitzvahs, right? When we do mitzvahs, how can we?
And the negative.
Well, he's talking about mitzvahs.
Okay.
So how is it that we have that type of power? So he says. So the Nazar answered because this concept of shlichus. Shliach, shalom kemoisa. A shliach of a person is like himself. When I send a shliach to do something, and his act is considered my act. He said that Rabbi Shalom sent us as shluchim to do the mitzvahs. So when we do an act, when we do a mitzvah, it's as if Hashem is doing it. So when a yid puts on film, it's really Hashem putting on film. So he says, Mamela, if Hashem is doing something, it's going to have an effect on all the world. He said, "Asher kiddushanu mitzvayisav." Hashem commanded, sanctified us with
His mitzvahs.
So when we do something, Hashem is doing. When it's obviously, so if we just take that into consideration from before we do a mitzvah, that we're actually that our act is going to be nisiachas. It's going to be it's considered, or it's as if Hashem is doing it. Takes on a new responsibility. Now, he's saying, "Enshliach ledvar avera." There is no shlichus when it comes to an avera. Obviously, Hashem doesn't want us to do the avera altogether, so this we don't have that.
But we're doing
it. We know it does.
Not then doing
right. The avera for sure. That definitely has an impact. Then again, if you take a look at the fact that Hashem Hashem finds it necessary to tell us in the Torah, don't do this. So what Hashem is telling us is, you're doing it is going to make a difference. So it doesn't work with that, with the shlichus thing, but it...
You could say, we don't make brachos on losas, as we... you could still use that same concept, that it's his.
Well, the point is that if you're an emissary of the king and you go bad, you're still representing the king whether you like it or not. You know, the way everything looks, it's a lot of power that means.
Yep. Yeah, the main thing is we have to know, we have to take ourselves, our actions, our thoughts, our speech very seriously.
I was thinking also, though, what the Blazer probably speaks about when it comes to Emuna. It's not just this faith that we're just believing that it's all real and that it does make an impact, but that we focus on things that happen in our life to recognize the Yad Hashem in everything that happens, good or bad.
Yeah.
So that also could help a person recognize the realness of it.
Okay.